There is that which is able to create a supply for your every need, the Word of God, and the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who helps us represent God's fullness on earth. In true intimacy, partnership, and fellowship with Him. Be a part of this and join us as a servant of God brings to you the Word of God with simplicity and power.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Holy, holy, blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. You are holy, Lord.
Oh, holy,
you are holy. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you. For it's a privilege to be here. We give you praise. Our minds and our hearts are open tonight. We ask, O God, that the rivers will flow. Ask, O God, that the heavens be open, remain open upon us. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we worship. Amen. Before you take your seat, I want you to look at one person and say, I'm glad to see you. I'm happy you are here. Amen. Amen. You're welcome in Jesus' name. I count it a privilege every time I come amongst believers. And I also count it a greater privilege when I have the opportunity to talk with just one person. So many years ago, Apostle told us something. Said the fire and the dexterity, the way he talks, he would talk to one person, the same passion he would put into talking with one person is the same passion he will put in when he stands before millions of people in a crusade. One believer alone is very, very, very important to God. The Bible says there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 just men that need no repentance. So it's a great privilege. Amen. I pray God will help us tonight. We'll talk a little from the Bible, then we'll pray also. God will help us in Jesus' name. I'll be speaking to us on the little and the humble topic. It's little and humble. Amen. Overcoming deception through intimacy with God. It's too long, but I will need you to cram it like memory verse. Overcoming deception through intimacy with God. Amen. Please look up first. Let me do the introduction before we go into the study. And I pray God will help us. We leave here maybe around 11:30. Who said amen? Amen. I know there are people that will not bear it here. They will just come and carry me from the pulpit and take me to the back. It's well. Overcoming deception through intimacy with God. We're created and recreated. We're regenerated for intimacy. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 17, it said, "This is eternal life, that they may know him." The knowing there is not just talking about mere information. Based on what you have heard about God. A lot of people have heard so many things about him, and they assume that they know him. Amen. Don't be distracted tonight. Praise God. If your BB is here and you are pinging, just off it first. Hallelujah. He said, "This is eternal life, that they may know him." So the reason for recreation and regeneration is that we have a relationship with God. We have an intimate relationship with him. The Israelites called God our Father. The word "our Father" they used there, they use it to mean our source. We came from him. It's different from Jesus' usage in the book of John chapter 5 verse 17. The Bible says, he said God was his Father. When Jesus called God his Father, he was talking about relationship. And Christianity is the only religion in the world that gives us the ability and the privilege to have a personal relationship with God. There is no other relationship where they call God my Father, and I'm the son of God, and I'm the child of God. And the Bible says the Jews sought more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but he said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The Greek, they don't play with language. They understand every letter of every word and every sentence. When Jesus used that word, my Father, what they were thinking is the biological father. Jesus used it to mean that God gave birth to me. And they picked offense. Amen. God kept us on the earth when we gave our life to Christ so that we represent him in this place. But we have come to see that everything that originates from God, the devil duplicates. Is it true? Several things happen in the world. A lot of people have gone to think in their mind, does God exist? Where is God in the midst of the pain? Where is God in the midst of the confusion and all? But God sits in heaven and he laughs. Because the people that know him, they shall be strong and they will do exploits. There are people that know him. So in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the deception, in the midst of the Christless system, God is still there and God lives in us. So we'll be looking at the topic, overcoming deception through intimacy with God. I wrote something here. I said deception is hiding the truth in order to gain an advantage. Deception doesn't come because there is an ignorance of the truth. Deception comes because we have suppressed the truth, because we are hiding the truth. and men are not released into their glorious destiny to have a complete knowledge of God. Jesus upbraided the Pharisees for standing at the door of the kingdom. They are not going inside, and they don't allow people go inside also. What God has destined for us, every believer, is that we know Him sufficiently and also express the same. I remember telling a sister one day that my desire for her is that she will get married to a man of God. And when I said that, the lady began to think of missionary. He began to think of the pulpit. I said, God actually created every man in the world to be a man of God. There are men of God that have never preached to anybody. There are men of God that don't have pulpits. All I'm saying is that the sister will get married to a man that fears God and a man that loves God. A man of God is not one that wears. I would have asked Brother Sam to stand up. Let's see a man of God by our definition. Amen. God desire that we know Him and be men of God. Not just because of the pulpit. If you hear people call man of God, woman of God, what are you thinking? It's because the person preaches. The person is an evangelist. The person is a pastor. But it's the desire of God that every brother will be a man of God. Because God intended that every man will be a pastor and every woman will be an assistant pastor. Is it true? Come on, brother, say I'm a pastor. Sisters, I'm an assistant pastor. Yes, that's God's intention. Because the home was instituted and created before the church. The home was planned by God to be a subunit of the church. If the pastor at home and the assistant pastor, they do their work very well, the pastors in the church will not have so much to do. Is it true? Because the contact time between the pastor and the church, the pastor in the church with the people, is limited. How many hours do you spend with your parents every day? Maybe up to 18. So they have greater opportunity to disciple you after God. So God is looking for men of God and women of God. Not just to stand on the pulpit and preach the way I'm doing, but to raise their children in a godly way. Because when the home fails, the church will fail and the nation will fail. The devil knows this, and that's why he arranges divorce and all that. The devil knows that so well. He arranges strife in the family. The father will be against the son. The daughter will be against the mother. If there is a home where the man is visionary and the wife also follows suit and the children are being raised in the fear of the Lord, you see the glory of God upon that home. When the children get to the church, whatever the pastor is preaching is what they have heard at home already. Amen. So the devil knows that and is breaking homes apart. There is a remedy and there is a panacea for that. The remedy is the presence of God and to have men that are men of God. And to brothers, don't marry an ordinary lady. Marry a woman of God. Amen. May God give you understanding. It's not marriage seminar. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. Amen. Praise God. First Timothy chapter 1, chapter 4 from verse 1. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving and of them which believe and know the truth. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Amen. Please look up again. Amen. So many things are happening in the world. I don't know what you are seeing behind everything that is happening. The reason why religions are being proliferated. Proliferated means broadcasted. Different new religions are coming up. There are over 1,000 religions in the world, and there are going to be more. And the reason why several denominations are arising, and when you look at them very well, the substance of Christ is not there. Christ is the dividing line between when you are trying to measure what is false and what is good, what is true. Your yardstick for measurement should not be whether it is good or bad. Your yardstick for measurement is whether it is Christ. Amen. We read something in the book of Romans. Paul was talking about the gospel of God. And that gospel of God has its emphasis, Christ. What Satan is doing and want to do is to evacuate Christ out of everything. When we're talking about deception, we are seeing evacuating Christ. So what we are looking at this evening is how to overcome this deception through intimacy with God. Through intimacy. It doesn't matter how you were. It doesn't matter what you preached some years ago. I was telling some friends the other day, we went to a village for a crusade. And before we went there, like I've shared this testimony here before, we went with a friend to his village. He said, there's so many witchcraft activities. As soon as we got to the village, we're hearing cry. Somebody died. Not up to 5 hours later, somebody died again in the village. People were crying. The village, they are not up to 300, the entire village. Let me say 200. When we got to the village, the crusade, before it started, we decided to go there 3 days before to pray. So we're having trained prayers. We pray 3 hours, rest 3 hours, pray 3 hours, like that. For 72 hours, we're just going. Amen. When we're doing that, this my friend's uncle now came and met us on the third day of the prayers in the morning. Because my friend had told us that he has an uncle, his father's younger brother, that is a chief priest in that land. They go to consult him, and when he doesn't have business to do again, what he does is to curse the land and throw project sickness upon people, so that he will have customers. Amen. Somebody said one day that doctors pray that people will fall sick. Is it true? I know they don't do that. They are more caring. They carry the compassion of Jesus. But this man is an agent of the devil. He will need to eat. He doesn't farm. The people go to farm. There is no school in that village. Only one church. One. And that church is as cold as minus 20 degrees Celsius. That is the devil's domain. That's where the devil likes to live in. A cold church. A church where they don't pray. A church where there is no prayer band. A church where the leaders don't pray. The devil sits on the pulpit and it decides what will happen. If you have a church that prays in a land, you don't need to go and preach to anybody. You may not even need to do signboard. Your prayers will compel people to hear you. So the church was like that. When we are even trying to pray, they're telling us that's not how they pray here, all that and that. So we cut it. So the uncle came in the morning and was telling us that his shrine has not been responding to him since we came in and were praying. And he told us something. He said he was more zealous than this. He was now telling us his life. He was telling us his story. How that he has been involved in church planting in Taraba State from Benue State. Church planting for a particular denomination. I will not mention the name. It was the crisis between, was it Taraba State and Benue State that sent him back home. and he became a sorcerer. Amen. That man was deceived. He would have been able to transfer that thing from Taraba State to his village if he had maintained intimacy with God. When there was no intimacy, the devil invaded him so much so that he became a servant of Satan. Amen. So we are in the days where so many things are calling for our attention. We are in the days where Satan is competing with God for our allegiance. You want to worship him, Satan wants you to worship him also, by any means. Amen. So what he does is to send all of this, the spirit of deception. It comes gradually. One of the ways to combat that, we're looking at the ways, is to be rooted in God's word. I will not dwell so much on that. There is a bigger aspect we're going to concentrate and focus upon tonight. Is to be rooted in God's word. Knowing the word. Knowing the word. We are a privileged generation because with the little Nokia phone you have, you can have up to 10 versions of the Bible there. Is it true? With your BlackBerry, you can have up to 25 versions if you want. With your PC Study Bible, PC 5, you can enjoy scores of versions. Amen. And we see that the devil also uses these means and these avenues to broadcast his message. He knows what he's doing. What he's trying to do is to reduce the quality of what you have. The quality of what you have is Christ. When God saved you, God was trying to evacuate I and to put Christ. When the devil comes, he's trying to remove Christ and to restore I and ultimately to put Satan in that place. One of the means he's using in this day. Are people and ministers, and that's what we're going to be looking at. Then we'll do when we're done, we'll pray. Amen. He's using ministers, and in this our time, there are three categories of ministers. I mean pulpits and church. Three categories of ministers. Number one, if you are with me, say amen. I'll show you the three categories and what you should do about them. Number one, they are ungodly and satanic ministers. Say after me, ungodly and satanic. Like the story of that man I told you. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. From verse 16. If there is amplified, please help me project it. If there is amplified, help me. I'll read. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. I read, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. What did he say you should do? He said, shun. There is a version that says, avoid. Please help me look for that version that says, avoid. He said, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. They will increase unto more ungodliness. Look at where it came from. And their words will eat like cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have heard, they have erred. They have misaimed. They have left the track, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the faith of some. Amen. Paul spotted out these two men. There's another man he called Alexander. He spotted them out. And he said, these men, their words will only bring about ungodliness. And he told us how it will happen. He said it eats like cancer. When you hear of cancer, cancer doesn't just come and the person plagued with cancer will just fall and die. It eats gradually. So he said their words eat like cancer. There was a man that arose in Nigeria some time ago, not too far from now, and he said he's pioneering a move called Chris Lab. The move, the goal of that move was to create a bridge between Christianity and, you understand when I do that? Amen. So that Christians can gather and they too will gather and will have same worship. Maybe after you have, we'll call Brother Sam, he will sing. After singing, we'll go and hit our heads again. Amen. Amen. When that move came, I told myself, I said, see, this is not possible. Jesus said something. He said, do not think I've come to send peace. He said, not peace, but war. But the sword. He said, the father will be against his son. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. And I thought about something one day. I said, there can never be peaceful coexistence between Christianity and other religious folks. If there is ever any peaceful coexistence, it is because we have lost sight of God's vision. If you stop doing what God says you should do, you become a friend of everybody. And that move, the movement Chrislam, will be a possibility, and thousands of people will flock in there and go and worship. That's not God's idea. God's idea is building a spiritual nation. What He's calling us onto is not something physical. The church is beyond these four walls that you see. The church is you. And God is building it effectively and efficiently and sending these people into different places to represent Him. But we see in our day that Christianity is about the church alone. The bless you, it is well language, is only heard in the church. When we get out of this place, bless you will cease. And we become radically and become like the world. Amen. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 19. Amen. It says, holding faith and good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Titus 1:14. I will be reading very fast. Please, just follow. He said, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I'm the reality. I'm the substance that God sent. He's not another founder of a religion. He said, the commandments of men that turn away from the truth. It turns us from Christ. What God wants us to have every day in us is Christ. One day I decided to do a study. I was asking myself, I said, what gospel did Paul preach? What gospel did Peter preach? What gospel did they preach? Why are there so many messages and all? Amen. Messages are good, they build us up. But the substance and the essence must be the same. The personality that is being emphasized in the message must be the same, Christ. So, the message that we preach, it's not bad for the people of God to be prosperous. It is not. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible says He has given us the earth. He has given the heaven, even the highest heaven is the Lord's, but he has given the earth to the children of men. So every resources on the earth is meant for us while we are still here. But the message of prosperity that does not come from the root of the cross, which is Christ, will lead many away from Christ. The message of holiness that does not come from the finish, based on the finished work of Christ and from the root of the cross, will lead us into legalism. We become Jews and religious folks that think it's by our works that we get saved. I can go on and on and on. Amen. The messages that don't turn men to Christ, they rather take many away from Christ. Amen. What do you do to them? You shun them. You avoid them. Hallelujah. Paul was speaking about another gospel in the book of Galatians. Another gospel. We'll not read it. Let's continue. The second category. The second category. And these men of the first category, they were once people that believed. They were once people that believed. He said many shall depart from the faith. That means they were in the faith. They will depart from the faith. So we'll see later how to combat that, how to maintain intimacy with God, so that one day you not move away, you not err from the track. The second category, this category of ministers, they are called of God. They are called of God. And they have not reached that level of the man that is working for Satan. The first category. That first category, the man is now working for Satan actively. He's working for Satan actively. We read a book. We bought a book. There was a season we bought a book with Pastor Jakes. I've forgotten the man's name. And the man sent a note to his friend, a pastor somewhere. He told his friend, there are two witches in your church. He said, there are two witches in your church. He said, you better do something about this information I'm giving you, because they didn't come to be saved. Amen. They are agents of Satan. They are sent to church. Amen. I know you don't believe this. I'm not saying this so that you start suspecting your neighbor. I see, Kai, you look like. Amen. But we know they are there. He said, do something about it, because they didn't come to be saved. Some of them will even attend altar call. That you attended altar call and they say after me, dear Lord Jesus, and you said it, doesn't mean you are saved. He said, if you shall believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. If you merely confess with your mouth, there is no believing in your heart. That believing is what brings you in contact with the reality you are believing. Amen. So they attend altar call, and the pastor will say, wow, thank God, we're growing. And they will ask them, do you want to be a member of this church as it used to be in the new believers form? They will say yes. You want to join a department? They can either join choir or ushering. Amen. Don't start looking at the choir people now and say, they join any department and become active in the church. But their mission is to come and counsel sisters. You know what counsel? C-A-N-C-E-L. There's another one, C, counsel. Counseling. And there is counsel. Amen. Sisters, may God deliver us. On the other hand, for the sister or the lady you have seen come to church, and it looks like she's committed. She's doing everything. She's the one that will bring water for pastor and even kneel down and give pastor water. Pastor, wow, this lady is humble. She's a nice lady. The pastor does not have discernment. That lady might be on an assignment. A servant of God shared a testimony with us of how when he was on campus, they had a prayer group. They prayed so many times. The devil tried to bring him down. He couldn't do that. When he was posted somewhere for national service, he said he met a lady. And when he got there, God helped him so much that he found a place where he was praying. that he met a lady one day, was preaching somewhere. The lady fell under the anointing and began to confess that she actually followed him from where he schooled to where he was going to do national service. That she was the one attached to him to bring him down. We're not saying all of this so that you become fearful, but we're saying that there is a position you can keep yourself where you keep moving. And we're also saying that devil uses his people. Another thing is using these days is false messages from people, especially the message from people that said they went to heaven. I'm sorry to say this. Amen. Forgive me. Maybe after now you won't see me in Zaria again. I'll run like Paul. The message from people that said they went to heaven, where their messages are distorted by their perspective, what they are seeing, by their level of understanding. Somebody went to heaven and said he didn't find any lady in heaven. And they asked him why. He said it's because the ladies in the world, they put on with on, and God warned them, they didn't hear, and God sent them to hell. Brethren, do you know that the same material from which your weapon was made was the material from which your clothes was made? Fiber? Amen. So when messages like that come, it punctures the faith of people. The sister will now think, oh, I'm not worthy before God. We are not like that other religion. We have been accepted before him. Amen. By the blood of Christ that was shed. So messages come like that. Why do you believe things like that? It's because you have not taken your time to build yourself in God. You are like the Christians in Abuja and Port Harcourt that meet people to pray for them. They can't pray for themselves. A friend of mine was sharing with me how that when he visited one of his uncles somewhere, that there are this prophet that would never allow them sleep. Anytime from 10 p.m., they started praying. The uncle hired them to come and pray. When they are done, they will pay them. The uncle will be sleeping and snoring. He has hired prophets to come and pray for him. Those prophets were not called by God. Even if they were called by God, they are now driven by their belly. A man will call a servant of God to lodge in his house to pray for him, and the man is sleeping. The man is sleeping. Amen. They are barely drinking. Hallelujah. Don't make yourself a prayer contractor. Whoever wants you to pray with him, carry him along. Let's go. Don't be a prayer contractor. That's not your calling. You are no prayer warriors. It's because we don't want to pay the price and to know God for ourselves. That's why their ministry is flourishing. They are doing well. They'll collect your money and all that. And the devil is using them so much. Is there God sufficient in your heart that when you hear a message, it squares up with the God you have inside of you? Or whatever a man says to you, go do this, you just go ahead and do it. That is the reason why the intention and the plan of God for this new breed, this new creation, is not so that any man will lord it over you. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, they sit upon Moses' seat and they command the people. When the people were fighting over who was the greatest amongst them. Amen. He wants us to know him sufficiently that we will overcome the deception that is imminent. Amen. This other category, the second one, they are called of God, but they have been polluted by the world. That they are gradually losing sight of kingdom vision and God's assignment, and therefore they are giving to self-satisfaction, self-enrichment, and all self. Amen. Let's look at something. Matthew 23. verse 3. All right. All therefore, whatsoever, is talking about this category of people, the second one, Matthew 23:3. He said, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe. He said, that observe and do. He said, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. Amen. This second category, Jesus said, everything they are commanding you to do, whatever they say you should do, do it. Jesus will not tell us to do what they said we should do if what they are saying we should do is not right. Is it true? That means what they are saying from this Bible is the correct thing. But if you move closely to them and you have sufficient closeness, maybe you stay with them or something, you find something else. Jesus said, but do not do after their works. It's possible to get to that point where what is upon your heart, we're going to pray later, because I perceive and I know that most of what we see in Nigeria is like, I don't know, I'm just assuming that they are in this second category. We're going to pray. We pray for ourselves also, that God will also help us, because it's possible to enter anywhere. Now, the throne, what is upon their heart, is no longer the throne of God. When God calls a man, he gives him the general vision first of all, before giving him a specific vision. The general vision is what God is doing entirely in the universe. The specific vision is what he wanted to do in your geographical location, your own jurisdiction. But these men can lose sight of the general vision, and also, if possible, lose sight of the specific vision and to begin to do something else. Amen. Where you find a minister that preach intelligently from the Bible, he read the scripture before he began, and as soon as he began, something else took over, and he took offering in that meeting. Amen. I went to Congo for a meeting one time. Praise God. Please listen to me. We went to Congo for a meeting. The title of the meeting was buying shares. You know, shares that banks sell. The title of the meeting is buying share. When you see some title of meetings, you shouldn't go. But I wanted to know what it was about, and I took my head there to Congo. The guy was preaching on the seed principle of the kingdom, where when you plant a seed, God multiplies it. It's true. If an unbeliever does that, it will work while the earth remains. Seed time and harvest will not cease. It's a natural principle, isn't it? The guy preached from the Bible for 15 minutes, and he spent another 1 hour. He spent another 1 hour raising offering. The people that were in that meeting were not up to 40. But the guy made sure he milked us. You know how you squeeze, you are washing and you squeeze the cloth to get the water out of it. The little 3310 phone I was managing with my life, I tied with rubber. If you call me, I shouldn't allow that phone ring. If it rings, the battery will just down. So before the phone rings, I have to pick. I gave it. That phone was so precious to me. I was thinking, the next day, somebody will just walk up to me and say, take this 1100. That was the best phone as at that time. That was how I stayed phoneless for like a month. It was a sister in the fellowship. Her uncle bought another phone for her. The one she was using was bad. She had mercy on me and gave me. My bag that I use for carrying my Bible and all the things, you must have seen me around with small bags. I gave it. Prophet Jangfa was there, as discerning as Prophet Jangfa was. His phone went. Amen. Amen. This guy compelled ladies that were there. Ladies were giving their earrings, necklaces, rings, and everything. When you have given, he will tell you the Lord is telling him that there is still somebody here. That you are still holding back your Isaac. Some brothers came back to Samaru barefooted. Look, I'm not exaggerating. God is my witness. A brother had to put his both hands in his pocket until we got to Samaru. Do you know why? He gave his belt, Italian belt. Amen. Listen. Listen. Do you know why it happened? Because we met a man of God that has been given to the flesh. He finds security in things. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and every other thing will follow. If there is a genuine vision, there will be a provision. Yes. I know a man of God in Nigeria that don't take offering for his meetings, but they never ever lack anything. So that issue of offering, and you find out, like Pastor Sunday Adelaja said, that those kind of congregation, the man there is the richest. Amen. Prophet offering and others. We're not against it. Amen. As a matter of fact, after I've preached like this, no at all. Amen. Do you understand this? And when we got home, with time, we're still following that guy. I will not mention his name, not mention the church. We're still following him. When you come, and when we're coming to visit him, then I will deliberately keep my wallet at home. I'll keep my wallet and keep my phone before going to visit him. Because when you get to him, he must see something he likes that he wants to take. If he sees Pastor Sam like this, as with this kind of attire, he will say, God is speaking. And you have to listen. Amen. But it was not supposed to be like that. When God sends a man, look unto God also to provide the needs. We saw that Moses, when God commanded him to build the temple, the people gave offering. Moses only told the people. He said, bring this. This is what God said. Bring gold, bring silver, bring this. And the people gave willingly in abundance. A point came that Moses was stopping them, stopping their offering. And I said, can we operate in that kind of dimension that you not ask anybody for anything and you not lack anything also? Amen. The reason why there is so much pressure on people that way to bring and to bring and to bring and to keep bringing it, because the man of God is doing something else that is not God. I got home one day. I'll speak plainly here and you'll forgive me. When I'm through, I'll run. I got home one day and my dad brought envelopes. Said, our church is about to start a university. I said, wow, well, that's the reigning thing, the common thing. And he said, there's levy for students, higher institution, there's levy for secondary school, levy for primary school, levy for workers, all that and that. And my dad's own, his own, was 50,000. I think my own was around 10,000. I didn't even tell him anything. He knows what to do. Amen. And I was thinking, I said, this man is suffering and is gathering all of this money to contribute for the building of the university. When they are true, can he send any of his child to the university, so-called mission university? That people, the people of the church, they have gathered and they have labored to build and they can't send their children there. Can we say it is of God? I leave that for you. And there was one of the Christian universities that was giving scholarship to people. The scholarship is this: you buy the form. The form is 1,005. When, if for example, 100 people buy the form, they will give only 5 people the admission. And I was asking, what happened to the money for the form then? Is it not like MTN? Who wants to be a millionaire? The money they give, 10,000, oh, 10 million, oh, MTN tried, nah, lie. MTN got that money from so many people that are applying for who want to be a millionaire. That's the same principle. When we have given out the forms for people for scholarship, we sell it to them. The money we realize from it, we use it to sponsor a few of the people to the Mission Christian University. It's an error. So not many of those Christian universities were inspired by God. They came to be because men want accomplishment, physical accomplishment. Let us see that we are doing something. And most of these people, they have forsaken the basic principles of the Christian faith. The basic and simple principle of praying, they are forgotten. And these are the big congregations that kick against every new move of God. As if our belief on God is that God that is not transcendent and dynamic. People began to speak in tongues in the early 90s, early 19th centuries, and all that, late 18, early 19. Amen. That was a move of God that was restored. But today you hear people say, speak, there is nothing like speaking in tongues again. I've heard it several times. Let me tell you something. Do you know what we should be doing in the church today? Everything that they did in the book of Acts. If you want to see what the church is like, go and look at the book of Acts. If they spoke in tongues there, we should be blasting in tongues at this time. Because the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. The glory, the blessings, if they had bodily transport then, we should have it now. If they had miracle then, we should have it now. It is not different. The church is one. The day it was inaugurated, it was with power. For many of them are into organization. You bring money for this, money for that. The pastor is an administrator. Because his Bible study, they have written it down. When he comes to church, he will do it. The message he's going to preach on Sunday has been written down from headquarters. He's an administrator. Just find a way to help us watch so that nobody will steal the money. That's what he's doing there. He's not ministering. If he's ministering, they will allow him room to express himself and to give to the people what he has received from God. Hallelujah. So this category, second category, Jesus said, obey them. He said, but don't do after their works. Because the reason why even the man stood up and began ministry was because of rebellion. Rebellion and the desire for fame and all that. The man of God said something one time. He said, if God has not sent you to television to be on air, don't go. Because even what most of God cannot send contradiction to air. He can't send Brother Michael, send Yinka, and send Brother Sam. And what they are preaching is contradicting each other. Like that. God will wait until Brother Yinka has been upgraded to the revelation of Brother Sam. You say, now you are ready to go. Go. Amen. We're going to pray about some things. That God will deliver us from deception. The first level is the bad one. The second level, they can repent. To them, exploits in ministry is measured by all that. They use promises and premiums, gimmicks and hypes to get and keep people. Billy Graham's bomb told him one day when he was called into ministry, he said, beware of three things, three G's, gold, glory and girls. Said, beware of three G's, gold, money, glory, pride and popularity and pomp, and girls, immorality. May God help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we pray quickly, the third category. They are the true servants of God. I call them servants. 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11 and verse 1. They are servants of God. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. The first category, avoid them. The second category, hear their word, but don't do after them. The third category, follow them. The first and second category, if you're following them with one eye open. Amen. Because at times they can get you to the ditch. But this third category, follow them with both eyes closed. Such a leader was Jesus. Amen. Paul was boldly saying, he said, follow me because I follow Christ. This third category, they are not perfect men. Amen. But they follow and obey Christ. They are not driven by their senses in decision making. They move according to God's schedule and calendar, and not what is in vogue. They have their treasures in heaven, and therefore their heart is in heaven. They make mistakes and humbly admit it and repent. They are not obstinate. Amen. He said, follow them. Those are the third categories. The reason why you should follow them is because they are following Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 6, it said, be filled with the Spirit, and therefore you will not walk in the flesh. The Bible is not against us being drunk. The Bible is not against us being drunk, but the Bible is concerned about what we are drunk with. He said, be not drunk with wine. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The way to overcome deception and to have an intimate relationship with Christ, where even if an angel comes to preach another gospel to you, you will not believe, is when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways is through prayer. Through prayers. Amen. The greatest goal and achievement in praying is that our knowledge of God increases. People go to shrine to have their needs met, but they never ever have any relationship with the demon in the shrine, do they? But God doesn't want us to come to Him when we approach prayers as a means of getting our needs met only. Amen. If you are still around, say amen. I heard the story of a young boy that asked God for a bicycle. He asked God for a bicycle he has been praying for months. And one day, he switched on the television. He heard the man of God teaching about prayers. And the man of God was praying, oh God, if it is your will for me to do this, do that, do that. He copied it. He went back home and prayed, oh Lord, if it be your will that I will have a bicycle, bring it my way. He prayed, nothing came. Another day he was watching television. He saw a faith preacher preaching, and he talked about prayers. And he said, prayer is you call forth the things that God has given you. Very true. And he went back. He said, I call forth my bicycle in the name of Jesus. He did, commanded, bound, loosed. He didn't come. He got frustrated. And finally he saw a preacher, the violent preacher. And when he learned prayers there, what the boy did, the boy went into his father's room. There is an image, the statue of Mary. He took the image and hid it in his room. He said, Jesus, if you bring my bicycle, come and carry your mother. Amen. Now, there are several methods that we employ in praying. Several mindsets. People pray all that and that. But ultimately, what God wants us to achieve in prayers is that there will be a communion. We are intertwined with Him. When you are intertwined with Him and you have seen the bigness of God, that need of yours of bicycle will become small. Because whatever you pray to, The spirit of whatever you pray to possesses you. Amen. Rise on your feet. History has it that the crisis that happened in church, the most bloody and the bloody crisis in church, they happened on Friday. It's because there was a prayer that was made. And on the other hand, the people were possessed by the spirit of who they prayed to. When you pray to the spirit of God, you'll be possessed with truth, with love, with joy, with peace, with knowledge. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just bow your head? Just go ahead and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Meko Hoshima Haba. Zupe Tuba Rakatabra Katabayaha. Zintapa Shekelegedeboho. Zarondo Shiri Amanda Kladuze Bregedeboho. Seketegelegedebobo Shada Balabrebaha. Seketebosh. Zipatosh. Meburi in the shimehe.
Self out of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I follow. I have never done to leave for your word. Wherever you believe, I will go. Drop out of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you believe, wherever you believe, drop off my soul. Think it's like you mean it. I give a cool to the
pray. Please get ready. Don't be tired. We're going to pray. There are kinds of prayers that you pray that it is not you praying. Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongues, my spirit prays. Amen. And while we're praying, while we are going to be praying, if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, amen. I make bold to say it and to talk about it. Please step forward. We'll pray with you. It is very, very important. You need the Holy Spirit. If you have been deceived in a place that the Holy Spirit no longer lives in the believers, it is mere deception. As we're praying, I want to welcome you forward. you have not been born again. If you have not been born again, join them also. If you have not been born again, or you are rededicating your life to Jesus, you come and stand this way. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, casting out devils and raising the dead, amen, you come forward too. With evidence of not just speaking in tongues, healing the sick and prophesying, something will happen to you tonight. And those of us that will be praying, the hand of the Lord will fall on you. Some of you will be drunk in the spirit. Don't mind who is standing around you. If there's a place you can keep your phone, please do that. You'll be drunk in the spirit. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, you'll be drunk with the spirit. I want to invite those people forward. You have not been born again, and you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. Just step forward. No matter who you are, it doesn't matter how many times they have prayed for you. Tonight is the night. The Bible says, while they were gathered on the day of Pentecost, they heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Makin de ku apuke evukiaga. You are going to be born again. Stand by my right hand. Holy Ghost, stand by my left hand. Rakoto brekete balagada baham. Santo posite legadebaho. Santa patrakete legadebaho. Ikatabos mebus ebuse kile eboroko sabar. You have not been born again. Stand by my right hand side. You have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. Stand by my left hand side. Rakatobo sekelega de boho. Leketebo sakato bragadabaha. Rando kotobo jide bragadabaho. Santo potrakelega de boho. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. I would want these people to join us in the prayers. If you are here to give your life to Christ, let me see your hand up. You came to give your life to Christ. Just separate them, please. How many are there? Where's Promise? Promise, please take them, minister salvation to them. Just talk with them. Let them be born again. Amen. Pastor Sam, please come, Gwenga. Can you please minister to them, the baptism? As many as will have space, some of the students of School of Ministry, you can come. If you have space, minister to them. Let them be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues and prophesying. Go ahead and pray for them. The rest of you, go ahead and pray.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, call 081-38-32-5463 or 080-33-50-8735 or 080-34-00-3936. You can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaCharity Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/KoinoniaCNI. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Charity Network International, duplicating the fullness of God's life on earth.